This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you all doing? Is there a chat box here?
Yeah, there is.
There is. Okay. All right, mashallah. So, alhamdulillah, are you guys excited about Surat Yusuf? Alhamdulillah. I was just thinking about it. It's so amazing how the Quran is so relevant to our lives. Recently, someone sent me a message that a lot of people feel as if they're captives in their homes. They're just stuck. They're not able to go outside. And it really reminded me of Yusuf alayhi salam, about how he was also a captive, a prisoner, literally in a prison. And then before that, as a slave. And subhanAllah, the way that he dealt with the situation that he was in, the way that he was with people, he's described as a muhsin, as someone who worked in an excellent way, someone who was excellent in his worship, in his treatment of people. So really, I think we are very, very fortunate that we're getting the opportunity to study Surat Yusuf at a time like this. And I pray, inshallah, that the study of Surat Yusuf at this time is a means of healing for us, a means of guidance, a means of hope, encouragement, and may we be able to make the best use of this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And I pray that this time becomes a source of growth and a period of learning, so that we are able to benefit people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in our lives, inshallah. So let us begin tafsir of Surat Yusuf. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi. Amin ya rabbal alamin. So inshallah, what we'll do is we'll start with the introduction of Surat Yusuf. And remember that Surat Yusuf is actually Surah number 12 in the Quran, right? And it has 111 verses. And it is from the group of surahs of the Quran, which are called the Mi'in. The word Mi'in is from Mi'a, and Mi'a means 100. So remember that there are several groups of surahs in the Quran. Basically, there's four groups of surahs in the Quran. The first group of surahs is called the Tiwal surahs, the really long surahs. And these are from Surah Al-Baqarah to Surah Al-Tawbah. Then the second group of surahs is called the Mi'in surahs. Why are they called Mi'in? Because these are surahs that have about 100 verses in them. So these are from Surah Yunus all the way to Surah Fatir, and Surah Yusuf, of course, is in this group. Then the third group of surahs is called the Mathani. The Mathani surahs are from Surah Yasin to Surah Hujurat. And why are they called Mathani? Because Mathani is that which is recited or repeated a lot. And because of their length, it's actually very easy to recite them. And then finally, the fourth group of surahs is called the Mufassal surahs, which are the very short surahs of the Quran. And they're called Mufassal because your recitation is separated with the Basmala, right? You have to say Bismillah every now and then because the surahs are so short that you end up reciting them very quickly. So Surat Yusuf is from the Mi'in surahs. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said about the Mi'in surahs that I have been given in place of the Zabur, the Mi'in. Meaning Zabur was given to Dawood alayhi salam. And the Mi'in surahs are like the Zabur, meaning in their value, in their benefit. So this surah, Surat Yusuf, is from the Mi'in. Now, another thing that we should, of course, know is when was this surah revealed? So Surat Yusuf is actually a Makki surah. And this is very, very important for us to remember. It is said that the surah was revealed in the 10th or the 11th year of the Hijrah. So basically towards the end of the Meccan era. Now remember, if you're familiar with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was a very, very difficult time upon him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because remember that over time, the persecution of the mushrikeen was really intensifying. And around this time, remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha. He also lost his uncle Abu Talib, who was his guardian basically. And remember that he also went to Ta'if in order to get some support from there, but you all are familiar about how he was treated. So you can imagine how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was feeling, how the companions were feeling. And at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yusuf, which is such a beautiful surah, because not only does it uplift you, it really brings you hope. You think about what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. Everything was so perfect for him. He was living at home with his family, and then all of a sudden, his brothers, out of their jealousy, they threw him away into a well, and then he sold as a slave, and then things just start going downhill from there. But then look at where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him at that time. So this story, it really helps you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. It really helps you look at the big picture. That yes, in the moment that I'm in right now, it's very, very hard. It's very, very difficult. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb, right? He is my master, he is my Lord, he is my owner, and he is my mudabbir, right? And remember the meaning of Rabb. Rabb is someone who is the one who creates something and takes it to its level of perfection and completion by making it go through all the different stages, all right? So we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just planned and decreed and decided for our present moment, but for our entire lives. So Yusuf alayhi salam, his story is so beautiful. Everything came together so perfectly. And like that, I also have to put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the best of the situation that I am in, and not give up nor get frustrated with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this surah is a Makki surah. And another thing, it's very, very unique compared to the other surahs of the Quran. How is the surah unique? It's unique because it's the only surah in which the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned. Okay? We see, for example, the story of Musa alayhi salam. It is mentioned in many, many different surahs of the Quran, right? You see the story of Adam alayhi salam. Again, it's mentioned several times in the Quran with, different details in different places. But the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, all of it is actually here. And it's entirely mentioned in the surah from the beginning to the end. And it's mentioned in a chronological order, right? So this is what makes this surah very, very unique. And this is the reason why, of course, this surah is also called Surah Yusuf. And his name is mentioned at least 15 times in this surah. Now, when exactly was, why was this surah revealed? Because remember that there are reasons for revelation, right? There is asbabun nuzul. So there's two incidents that we learn about. The first incident is that some of the companions, they actually came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said that, Ya Rasulullah, law qasasta alayna. Could you tell us a story? Why did they say that? Because you see in the Quran, there are many teachings that are given, many messages that are given. The Quran is وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. It is not something to be taken lightly, right? إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. It is a very clear, distinct speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has to be taken very seriously. But, as human beings, yes, we need serious content, right? Because life is is no easy thing. It is a very serious matter. But at the same time, given that we're human, we also need, things or on a lighter note. This is not to, distract ourselves, but it is to give ourselves things in balance, right? Because any extreme is unhealthy. So this hadith is actually mentioned in Sahih Ibn Hibban, in Musnad of Abi Ya'la, and in other books of hadith, and it has been authenticated. It's regarded as hadith hasan. So some of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, لو قصصت علينا. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah, right? So this surah has the best story in it. Secondly, another reason for the revelation of the surah we are given is that some people, these were people of the book, they challenged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to test him, that tell us about who Yaqub is and who his son Yusuf is and what happened to him. Because remember that the Arabs were very familiar with certain prophets like Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, but they had no idea about some other prophets. And these were prophets who were sent to the Bani Israel. So the Jews thought, or the people of the book thought, that you know what, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to be exposed like this. If he's really a prophet, then he would know about the matter of Yaqub and Yusuf. And if he's not a prophet, then there's no way that he could find out, because this story was completely unknown to the Arabs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yusuf in order to comfort the companions and of course his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Allah says in the Quran, that we have revealed it gradually, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so that we may strengthen your heart through this revelation. And at the same time, this surah also proves the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It establishes the fact that really the Quran is the word of Allah azza wa jal. So with this, inshallah, we'll begin the word-for-word translation. I understand that a lot of you were not able to purchase your books, so I've put the word-for-word translation on the screen. So inshallah, we'll try to do the first 7 verses today, inshallah. So let's go over the translation and then we'll begin the tafsir. So what you can do is, I know that typically the way we go over the translation is that I say the Arabic and you say the English. But today, inshallah, I'll say the English as well because I cannot hear you. So inshallah, I'll do the word for word. And of course, you can also repeat it with me if you want. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Ra. Tilka, those ayatu are verses, al-kitab of the book, al-mubin, the clear, and the one that clarifies. Inna, indeed we, anzalnahu, we sent it down, Qur'anan, as Qur'an, as a recitation, arabiyyan, Arabic, la'allakum, so that you all, ta'qilun, you all understand. Nahnu, we, naqussu, we recount, alayka, to you, أحسن القصص, in a truly best recounting, or the best account. بما, through what, أوحينا, we revealed, إليك, to you, هذا, this, القرآن, Qur'an. وإن, while indeed, كنت, you were, من قبله, before it, لمن, surely of, الغافلين, those who are unaware. إذ, when, قال يوسف, Yusuf said, لِأَبِيهِ, to his father, يَا أَبَتِي, O my father, إِنِّي, indeed I, رَأَيْتُ, I saw, أَحَدَ عَشَرْ, 11, كَوْكَبَ, stars, وَالشَّمْسَ, and the sun, وَالْقَمَرَ, and the moon, رَأَيْتُهُمْ, I saw them, لِي سَاجِدِينَ, as ones who prostrate to me. قال, he said, يَا بُنَيَّ, O my dear son, لا تقصص, you do not recount, رؤياك, your dream, على, to, إخوتك, your brothers. فيكيدوا, because they will conspire, لك, against you, كيدا, a true conspiracy. إن, indeed, الشيطان, the شيطان, للإنسان, is to the human being, عدو, an enemy, مبين, clear. وَكَذَلِكَ and thus يَجْتَبِيكَ he will choose to bless you, رَبُّكَ your رَبّ, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ and he will teach you مِنْ of تَأْوِيل interpretation, الْأَحَادِيثِ of the dreams, of the events, of the statements. وَيُتِمُّ and he will complete نِعْمَتَهُ his blessing عَلَيْكَ upon you, وَعَلَى and upon آلِ family يَعْقُوب of يَعْقُوب. كَمَا just as أَتَمَّهَا he completed it عَلَى upon أَبَوَيْكَ your two forefathers مِنْ قَبْلُ before إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ and إِسْحَاقَ. إِنَّ indeed رَبَّكَ your رَبْ عَلِيمٌ is ever-knowing حَكِيمٌ ever-wise. لَقَدْ certainly كَانَ there is فِي in يُوسُفَ يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ and his brothers آيَاتٌ signs لِلسَّائِلِينَ for those who ask. All right, so let's begin the tafsir now. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Alif Lam Ra Tilka Ayatul Kitab al-Mubin. Alif Lam Ra, these are the verses of the clear book. Notice how the surah begins with the letters Alif Lam Ra. And you are familiar with these letters. These are known as Huruf Muqatta'at. And remember that there are five surahs in the Quran which begin with these particular letters Alif Lam Ra. And these surahs are Surat Yunus, Surat Hud, Surat Yusuf, Ibrahim, and Hijr. And notice how all five of these surahs are actually basically contain stories of the prophets. Surat Yunus mentions the story of Yunus alayhi salam. Surat Hud mentions the story of Hud alayhi salam. Surat Yusuf, of course, has the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Surat Ibrahim has a story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Surat Hijr, Hijr is Ashabul Hijr, the people of Salih alayhi salam. So Alif Lam Ra, and remember these letters are a proof, a reminder of the miracle of the Quran, the fact that we know so little. Alif Lam Ra are letters that we are familiar with, right? But when it comes to their exact meaning, we don't know. We understand their purpose, their benefit, that they remind us of the miraculous nature of the Quran. They alert the listener. They draw the attention of the people who are listening. But at the same time, if you know, we can suggest all that we want, Alif Lam Ra means this or Alif Lam Ra means that, and you will find a lot of opinions regarding that. But at the end of the day, no one can confidently say that this is what Alif Lam Ra means. And that reminds us of the fact that we know so very little. That no matter how much we know, the fact is that we know very little. And this is why we should always, always be humble. You know, arrogance is something that does not befit us. The sense of entitlement, you know, it really does not befit us. We can only know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to know. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps from us, you know, we can do whatever we want, but we can never ever know about that. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. O Allah, you are perfect. We have no knowledge at all except that knowledge which you have given us. So alif lam ra, tilka ayatul kitab. Tilka literally means that, all right? And it's referring to something that is distant, as opposed to hadihi. Hadihi is used to refer to something that is near, and tilka is used to refer to something that is far, that is distant. And sometimes a word like this is used to refer to something that is of very, very high status. So what is it that is being pointed towards? Ayatul kitab, verses of the book. So those verses of the book, meaning those honorable, dignified, very, very, those of very high status. They're not like the statements of people, the stories that people, come up with, the things that people say. No, these are verses of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning which Allah has revealed. So they certainly have a very high status. So tilka ayatul kitab. These, meaning the verses that are coming in the surah, these are verses of the book. Which book? The book that Allah has revealed, which is of course referring to the Quran. And these verses of the book, of course, it's referring to Surah Yusuf. But what kind of a book is the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us it is Al-Kitab al-Mubin. You see the word Mubin, it is describing Al-Kitab. So this book is Al-Mubin. Now, I mentioned to you earlier how there's other surahs as well that begin with Alif Lam Ra. And something similar is mentioned over there, that these are verses of the book, or this is a revelation from the one. There's different descriptions of the Quran that are given. But here specifically, the description of the Quran that is mentioned is Al-Mubin. The fact that the Quran is Al-Mubin. Now, what is the meaning of Al-Mubin? You can see the root of this word is Bayanun. And Mubin literally means two things. First of all, it means Mubin is something that is evident, something that is clear. All right. And secondly, Mubin also means something that clarifies, meaning that makes other things clear and evident. So let's look at the first meaning. The Quran is, this kitab is Mubin, meaning it is evident and it is clear. How is it clear? How is it evident? It's evident, meaning in its contents, right? So the Quran is not a book of, puzzles and riddles and things that are beyond human comprehension. No, the message of the Quran, the words of the Quran, the meanings of the Quran are very evident, all right? They're very evident. The message of the Quran is not ambiguous. It is very clear. It's unapologetically clear, right? It's evident. You don't have to, really dig into it in order to see what is the Quran really telling me. No, it's very, very obvious. And then the Quran is also clear how in the fact that it is from Allah, meaning it's very obvious that this Quran is from Allah. Its matter is very evident. That this book is from Allah. And this story, actually, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, really makes that evident. Because remember that the Arabs were completely unfamiliar with the story of Yusuf and Yaqub. All right, they didn't even know these names. Okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would only know things which were in his language, which were known to his people. So all of a sudden now, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is being mentioned in so much detail, with so much precision, in perfect beauty. What does that mean? That certainly this Quran has come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from someone who knows the present, the future, and the past, right? And who is that? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are verses of the clear book. Clear book, meaning that is clearly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the Quran, the word Mubin also means that it is clarifying. It makes clear. So what is it that the Quran clarifies? The Quran clarifies many things for us. And basically what it clarifies is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, right? It clarifies everything that people need to know, which are beneficial for them. It clarifies the way of life. It clarifies the way of guidance. It clarifies the way to success. It clarifies what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And also remember that over time, we can see in history how over time there are so many concepts that have become lost or ambiguous or confusing to people, right? Or forgotten by people. Like, for example, the concept of Tawheed, the concept of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's the first message that was sent to the prophets. Every single prophet brought the message of Tawheed, right? But then over time, what has happened? People don't even understand the concept of Tawheed, right? Of what it means to believe in only one God. we see that there are people who will say that, yes, God is one, but then they will also ascribe a child to him, right? A partner to him and things like that. So the Quran clarifies facts, right? The Quran clarifies truth. The Quran clarifies our past, right? Meaning of human beings. So, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab al-Mubin, these are the verses of the clear book. So the surah begins with this particular description of the Quran, right? And remember that the surah was revealed before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. So truly, the fact that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned in so much detail over here is nothing but a miracle. And that makes it very evident that this book is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the speech of Allah. It is not the word of a human being. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ That indeed we have revealed it, we have sent it down, meaning this Kitab al-Mubin, this clear book, we have sent it down, how? As Qur'an al-Arabiyya, as an Arabic recitation. Why Arabic and why a recitation? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ So that you all may understand. Meaning if it was not an Arabic recitation, then you would not be able to understand. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that he has revealed the story and the rest of this book in Arabic and as a recitation. Now, remember in the first ayah, we see the word kitab, right? The Quran is called a kitab. Now, what is a kitab? A kitab is a book, right? But the way the Quran was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in the form of an actual book, right? Meaning it was not given in a written form. It was not given all at once, right? So why is the Quran called al-kitab? Because the Quran is, you see the word kitab, yes, it means a book. It was, remember the Quran was written as it was revealed. And also remember that the Quran is written in Lawh al-Mahfuz, right? So this is why it's called a book. And then secondly, also remember that the word kitab is from the word katb, and katb is al-jamr, to gather, all right? So the Quran is called kitab because it gathers together the best lessons, the best messages, the best laws, the best teachings, all right? So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have revealed this kitab as a recitation in Arabic. Okay, I want you to look at the word Quran. The word Quran is from the letters qara'a, qaf, ra, hamza. Okay, and qara'a, of course, means to recite. So, Quran is that which is oft recited, meaning it's recited a lot. When is it recited? It is recited in salah. It is recited by those who memorize it. I mean, mashallah, people who memorize the Quran, it's like their entire day goes in just reciting the Quran. A large chunk of their day goes in the recitation of the Quran. And then once they're done memorizing it, then what happens? They keep reviewing it, right? And also it's recited by those who do not memorize, but those who wish to earn reward, those who wish to get healing from the Quran, guidance from the Quran. So the Quran is supposed to be recited, and this is why it's called Quran, right? It is a recitation. So why was the Quran revealed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a recitation and not in a written form? Because the Arabs were they were an ummi nation. Right? They were an unlettered people. They did not read, they did not write. Everything was transmitted orally, right? There was a lot of emphasis on verbal expression, right? On speech, on poetry, on on eloquence, right? And they expressed themselves through language, not by writing, but by speaking, all right? they memorize things, and they would memorize lineages, they would memorize poetry. So their entire culture and art was basically on oral reading or oral recitation, okay? And if the Quran was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a written form, then that would actually be very hard upon the people, right? It would be very hard on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How was he to read and to transmit when he himself was ummi, right? And then remember that when the Quran was transmitted orally, then remember that remember that the Quran is the speech of Allah, right? It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows us that the very recitation, the very reading, that itself is blessed, all right? Which means that when you recite the Quran, that recitation, that reading is very, very powerful. How is it powerful? Because A, it's a source of reward, and B, because you're reciting divine words, words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Then these words are going to carry a lot of weight, a lot of blessing, right? Which is why we see that, for example, when Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in a house, then what happens? Shaitan runs away from there, right? You recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, right? And you blow on your hands and you wipe yourself with your hands. This is a source of protection, healing for you, right? That's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do when he was sick. And also something that he did every single night before going to bed. So the very reading, the very recitation of the Quran, remember, it is a healing, it is a blessing, because this is the word of Allah. So inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiyan. We have revealed it as a recitation that is in Arabic. All right, and we'll talk about why it is in Arabic. Now, secondly, the word Quran. It could also be taken from the root qaf ra nun, and that also means to join to collect. And remember that in the Quran, of course, all the important messages, concepts, details that people need to know are gathered together, right? So the Quran here can also refer to the proper name, which is Quran. I mean, the proper name of the book. So we have revealed it as an Arabic Quran. So remember two meanings of this. We have sent it down as an Arabic recitation. And secondly, we have revealed it as an Arabic Quran. Why Arabic? Allah tells us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you all can understand. Now, why was the Quran revealed in Arabic? Because, first of all, it had to be in some language, right? The language that people understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Arabic. But this selection was not just random, all right? Of course it was in Arabic because the Prophet, the last Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spoke Arabic. His people spoke Arabic, right? That's the language that they understood. So the Torah was in Hebrew, right? Injil was in Syriac. So if the Quran was revealed in those languages, then the Arabs would not understand it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also would not understand it, right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in Arabic, this was so that people, the first recipients, would understand, right? So this was a favor to the Arabs, of course, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. If the Quran was revealed in a non-Arabic language, these people would have said that how come its verses are not clear, meaning we do not understand them. So the Quran was revealed in Arabic so that the people of the time, they would know what the Quran means, they would understand its message. But why Arabic also? Because Arabic compared to other languages is truly very, very unique. It's very different, all right? You see the word Araba. عَيْنْرَبَ is the root. عَرَبَ itself means to express oneself clearly and eloquently. And that is the very nature of Arabic language. In a few words, there's a lot that can be conveyed, all right? In a very beautiful way and also with brevity. I mean, when you look at the word-for-word translation, isn't it amazing how in Arabic there's just one word, all right? And in the English translation, sometimes you have two words, sometimes three, sometimes like literally an entire paragraph, right? Why? Because Arabic is very expressive. It's very expressive, which means that in very few words, you can actually convey a lot of meaning. Also, if you look at the Arabic language, it's beautiful in poetry and in prose. All right. Its grammar is very methodical and very, very logical. It's easy on the ears, meaning it's easy to listen to because every single sound is distinct. It is measured. Its vocabulary is very vast, right? It's a very rich language. And at the same time, it's also very simple, right? You will see so many people who are non-native speakers of Arabic language or they understand Arabic. Why? Because it's actually quite easy to learn Arabic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran in Arabic, because the Quran is supposed to be understood. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ And تَعْقِلُونَ is from عَقْلْ عَيْنْ قَافْ لَامْ It's supposed to be understood. Because once you understand the teachings of the Quran, the lessons that the Quran gives, the commands that it mentions, the prohibitions that it mentions, once you understand, only then will you be able to implement and follow, right, and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows us that really the Quran is a book that is supposed to be understood, right? Meaning its recitation is great, its memorization is excellent. And both the recitation and the memorization of the Quran are important. They have their place. But at the same time, remember that the Quran must be understood. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ these are not empty words that are just strung together or beautiful sounding words that are just put together. No, there's a lot of meaning. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of messages, a lot of blessing, a lot of guidance contained within these words. And a person would be very unfair to themselves if they fail to understand the Quran. So it's necessary that every person who has aql, right, who has intelligence, who has reason, they try their best to understand the Quran. They use their mind to comprehend the meanings of the Quran. I mean, it's amazing how we learn about so many things. We reflect on them. We think about them. We remember them. We memorize them. So we should also exert, the same or in fact more mental effort in understanding the Quran. So, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayah number 3, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ We are the ones who recount to you, meaning O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of stories, narrated in the best way. How is the best story or the best account revealed to you? بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ In what we have revealed to you of this Qur'an. Meaning, this best story is mentioned to you. You are given the knowledge of this best story in what? In the revelation that has been given to you. And what is that revelation? هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ It is this Qur'an. So you only know about the story. How? From where? From this Quran. وَإِن كُنْتَ مِن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ And indeed you were before this, meaning before this revelation was given to you, among those who are unaware. Meaning you did not know about the story. So the only way you know about the story is through the revelation that has been given to you. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ We narrate, عَلَيْكَ to you. We are the ones who are narrating the best story to you. And this is something that, you know, if we think about it, this is so beautiful. Allah is the one who is telling us the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah is the one. You see, nahnu, we. Who is this referring to? Allah Azza wa Jal. Nahnu naqussu alayk. And you see, you hear different stories from different people, right? Some people, mashallah, their way of telling stories is so nice, right? You just want to keep listening to them. And other people, you're like, okay, can you please finish quickly, right? Some people, they can be very vulgar, very rude, or they can be very emotionless in the way that they convey stories, right? Or the story that they're telling us is, okay, nice, but not that impressive, right? Interesting, but not that beneficial. And these are all human efforts. And this is why, when it comes to human efforts, they're imperfect, right? When Allah is telling us a story, then what do you think about that story? How perfect, how beneficial, how truthful that story is going to be, and how complete that story is going to be. And you see, when a person is telling you a story, you have a reason to doubt them, right? Or to at least believe that maybe they understood incorrectly, or maybe they don't know the entire story. But when Allah is the one who is telling us this story, what does this mean? This is the most truthful, the most correct, the most accurate account of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most truthful. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who could be more truthful than Allah in speech, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most truthful. He is alim. He is ever-knowing. So this story, as before we begin, we should have this, this realization or this contentment that this is, that everything mentioned over here is true. Okay? Every detail about Yusuf alayhi salam that is given in the story is accurate. It actually really happened. How do we know it actually happened? We weren't there. We didn't see it ourselves. Then how do we know? Because Allah is the one who is telling the story. So it is going to be 100% accurate. It's going to be beneficial. It's going to be useful. So نحن نقصو, you know, have this trust, have this yaqeen, this conviction that this is completely accurate. Now look at the word نقصو. We recount. عليك to you. Now the word نقصو, this is from قاف صاد صاد. And you can see أحسن القصص. The word قصص is also from قاف صاد صاد. What does this word mean? Qassa literally means to clip, to cut off something. Okay, like for example, you cut off your nails, right? You clip them. And secondly, qassa also means to follow someone's footsteps in order to trace them. Remember in Surah Al-Kahf, we learned that Musa alayhi salam and Yusha, what did they do? فَرُتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. They returned, they went back on their footsteps, tracing them, right? So qassa also means to follow someone's tracks. Why? In order to trace them, in order to find them. Now, qassa al-khabr, qassa alayhi al-khabr, meaning to tell someone about some news, about some information, is to relate some news or information in its proper manner. All right. Why? Because when you are, first of all, it's a piece of information. It's not everything. Because remember, qassa means to clip. All right. So the story over here is not exhaustive in the sense that every single detail about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned over here. No. All the relevant details are mentioned. All right, unnecessary details are not given because they only make the story long and boring, right? But all the relevant information that we need to know, that is mentioned. And then secondly, it's called qasas. Why? Because when a story is narrated, right, qasa especially, is to narrate a story in its proper manner, meaning as it actually happened. Why? Because when you're following someone's traces, right, you are searching for them, right? And you are going one footstep after the other, after the other, after the other, right? So you mention the story also in the same way, all right? In the most accurate way, as it happened, all right? In its proper manner. So, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ. We are the ones who are narrating upon you. We are the ones who are recounting to you أحسن القصص. The story of Yusuf عليه السلام is described as أحسن القصص. Now, the word أحسن, of course, means best. And القصص means account or story. So, it is the best account. Okay? Best account meaning it's the best story. And of course, every story in the Quran is excellent. All right, every single story that Allah has mentioned in the Quran is excellent. But when it comes to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, the fact that it is mentioned in entirety over here, the fact that it has such a, you know, the very contents of the story are so beautiful. All right, so it's really a very beautiful story. It's so relatable. And then remember that the word qasas can also give the meaning of iqtisas, meaning storytelling, to tell a story, which is why one of the meanings is in a truly best recounting, meaning the manner in which the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran is the best. The manner of storytelling, not just the contents, the manner, the style is the best. How is it the best? Because it is the most accurate, it is very clear, right? Its meanings are so beautiful, its benefit is so great. So, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. And how is it that we are giving this to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. Through what? Through that which we have revealed to you. Meaning, it's being narrated to you through revelation. And what is that revelation? هذا القرآن. It is this Qur'an. Yani, the fact that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is in the Qur'an, right? The fact that the source of the story, for us at least, is the Qur'an, that makes the story even more special, even more truthful, even more believable, and even more beneficial. Because what is this Qur'an? This Qur'an was truly an honor for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is because of this Qur'an that he was given preference over the rest of the prophets, right? It was a pure favor and gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتَ مِن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And indeed you were before it. Before what? Before the revelation of this Qur'an, you were surely among the ghafilin. Ghafil means two things. It can mean someone who is heedless, meaning someone who doesn't care. But it also means someone who is unaware, someone who doesn't know. So really, before the Qur'an was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was unaware. Unaware of what? Of the truths of this life, right? Of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and of so many other things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 52, that وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And thus we have revealed to you an inspiration of our command. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You did not know what is this book or what is Iman. You had no idea. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا. But we have made it a light. نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. By which we guide whom we will of our servants. So this Qur'an was really a gift, not just for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but for all of humanity. This is why هذا القرآن, it is emphasized. And then وَإِن كُنْتَ مِن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. You were unaware. You were unaware of the story, you were unaware of so many things. And so through this Qur'an, you have come to know of what of who Yusuf alayhi salam was, of so many other beneficial things. So not only is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam an excellent story, It is beneficial. These words are sacred because these are words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are a healing. They are a blessing because they are divine. So now, what is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ, when Yusuf said to his father. Now, before we get into the details of this ayah, something about Yusuf alayhi salam, okay? Once somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that man akramu nas, who is the most honorable of all people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said atqahum, the one who has most taqwa of Allah. So they said that this is not what we meant. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam thought that they were asking about really the most honorable amongst all individuals. So he said fa yusufu, then that is Yusuf, Nabiyullah, who was the Prophet of Allah, Ibn Nabiyillah, who was the son of the Prophet of Allah, Ibn Nabiyillah, who was the son of the Prophet of Allah, who was Ibn Khalilillah, who was the son of Allah's friend. So the people said, no, that's not what we meant. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then the best of those who are, who were best in their time of ignorance. And they are the best in Islam when they understand. So basically, they were asking about their own people. But in this hadith and in another hadith, which is a hadith that you can see on the screen, the Prophet ﷺ described Yusuf ﷺ as the best human being, right? The most honorable human being. And he said, Al-Karim, that Yusuf is Al-Karim. Al-Karim means honorable. Ibn al-Karim, the son of the honorable. Ibn al-Karim, who was the son of the honorable. How? Yusuf, Ibn Yaqub, because Yusuf himself was honorable. His father Yaqub was honorable. And Yaqub alayhi salam's father Ishaq, he was honorable. And his father Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was also honorable. Ibrahim was the Khalil of Allah, the friend of Allah. So this is who Yusuf alayhi salam is. Really an honorable, honorable person. A very, very special person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ, when Yusuf said to his father. Now who was the father of Yusuf alayhi salam? Yaqub alayhi salam. And remember that Yusuf alayhi salam lived about 1800 years before Isa alayhi salam. Right? And where did they live? They lived in Palestine, specifically Canaan. So he said to his father, Ya Abati, oh my dear father. I want you to look at the word Ya Abati. You see the ta at the end, Abati. This is, you know, my dear father. And it's a very loving way, okay? A very respectful way. So you can see here how Yusuf alayhi salam is not just, you know, talking to his father, but he's talking to his father in a very loving, respectful way. And he says, oh, my dear father, inni ra'aytu, indeed I saw ahad ashar, 11 kawkaban stars. I saw 11 stars. Notice the word ahad ashar. Ahad means one, ashar means 10. So 1 and 10, 11. I saw 11 stars. Was shamsa, and I saw the sun. Wal qamar, and I saw the moon. Ra'aytuhum, I saw all of them. All of them, meaning the 11 stars, the sun, and the moon, li sajideen, they were all making sajda to me. Sajideen, plural of sajid, sajid, the one who does sajda. So sajideen, li, meaning they were all making sajda to me. So the story of Yusuf alayhi salam begins with what? With the mention of his dream. And remember that whatever ranks that Yusuf alayhi salam reached in this world, and whatever he will reach in the hereafter, everything started with what? With his dream. Okay. Now, this dream that he saw, 11 stars, sun, moon, all of them prostrating to him. This dream, of course, was very strange. The fact that he saw 11 stars. Okay. This is very interesting because Yusuf alayhi salam had 11 brothers. Okay. He had one full brother, that was Binyamin, and he had 10 other brothers from his father, who had another wife. So 11 stars he saw, the sun and the moon. The sun is greater than the stars, right? remember, this is from the perspective of the viewer. And the sun is also greater than the moon. But there's two things, the sun and the moon, and then 11 stars. All right. And he sees that in his dream that all of them are making sajda to him. Making sajda to who? To Yusuf alayhi salam. So, of course, this is a very interesting dream, a very a unique dream. And he shares that with his father. All right. Now, one thing you should be aware of is the fact that there are different types of dreams. And inshallah, Brother Umar is going to talk to you about dreams later today, inshallah. But generally, remember that there's three types of dreams. Okay, one is hadith al-nafs. Basically, this is your own subconscious, you know, whatever has been on your mind, things that you're going through, things that you have seen, heard, come across, you know, you start seeing them while you're sleeping, right? And these can be, of course, very random. The second type of dreams are those which are from shaitan. And these are, for example, nightmares. Or dreams in which shaitan wants to misguide people, right? So I remember someone came to someone I know once, and they said that, you know, I had a dream that the prophet told me that I don't have to pray, okay? And he asked, okay, how was the prophet? What did he look like? He said, oh, very, very old man, okay? With like a white, long white beard and, you know, white clothes, etc. He said, you know, the Prophet ﷺ was not like that. He did not have a white beard, okay? When he passed away, there were a few strands of white in his beard, all right? So the Prophet ﷺ was not like that. What you saw was something else. And this is what shaitan does. You know, he comes in dreams in order to misguide people. And then sometimes these dreams can also be of sexual nature. So these are all from shaitan, right? To frighten a person, to misguide a person, to embarrass a person. These are all from shaitan. And then thirdly, there are dreams which are true, which are very meaningful, right? And these are basically mubashirat, meaning these are dreams that bring you good news, right? But one thing you should be familiar with is that our deen, our sharia, is not based on dreams, all right? Of course, the dreams that the prophets had, all right, they were, of course, always true. They were all, they were part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them of, which is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he saw his son, when he saw that he was slaughtering his son, he took that as a command, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown many things in his dream, which were related to different matters. So, but for us, okay, remember that we cannot start making the religion on the basis of the dreams that we see. So, for example, you know, there's things that are going around these days. Oh, I know someone who's very... Somebody actually sent me a message that that they heard from a lady who is very, very righteous, a very good lady, that she had a dream that, you know, everyone should recite this particular surah, you know, 30 times or God knows how many times, and you will not be affected by the coronavirus, right? So, I mean, yes, the entire Quran is shifa, but to say that the recitation of this surah, this number of times, right, is going to be a protection from coronavirus, this is not correct. This is not the right methodology, okay? Our religion is based on what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. All right, and dreams, yes, they are mubashirat. They bring good news, and they can be very meaningful. All right, and it's very important that when we have a bad dream, don't tell anybody about it. All right, just seek protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have a good dream, then don't go on telling everybody about it either. And be very, very careful about how you interpret it. Because the way you interpret it is how it happens. Once a person had a frightening dream, had a nightmare, and he told people about it, and the Prophet ﷺ said that do not tell anyone how the shaitan is messing about with you in your dreams. And if you do have a bad dream, then There is this dua, okay, which you should be familiar with. Once a companion said to the Prophet ﷺ that I have nightmares. And the Prophet ﷺ told him to make this dua, that أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من غضبه وعقابه وشر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين وأن يحضرون. That I seek refuge in the complete words of Allah from his anger and his punishment and the evil of his slaves and from the evil suggestions of the devils and from their being present. Okay, so Yusuf alayhi salam had this dream. He shared it with his father. So what did his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, who was also a prophet, what did he say? Qala, he said, ayah number 5, Ya bunayya, O my dear son, la taqsus ru'yaka. Do not recount your dream, meaning do not tell your dream, ala ikhwatik, to your brothers. Ikhwa is a plural of akh. And remember that Yusuf alayhi salam had 11 brothers. Okay, so his father told him, do not tell your brothers about your dream. Why? فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا, because they're going to conspire against you, a true conspiracy, meaning they're really going to try to harm you secretly. And why is that? Because إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. This is because shaitan is to the human being a very evident, manifest enemy. So before interpreting the dream, he warns Yusuf alayhi salam about something very important. Now, obviously, this dream was a very good dream. Like the sun, the moon, stars prostrating, honoring him. And it was remarkable, right? It really meant that something good was going to happen to Yusuf alayhi salam. And he was going to be given preference over the rest of his family, because these were 11 stars. So who would the 11 stars be? His 11 brothers, right? Who would the sun be? His father. And who would the moon be? His mother, right? So it was very obvious. And the fact that all of them were prostrating to him meant that Allah was going to give him preference and honor above the rest of his family, right? And not just his family, but of course the rest of the people also. So Yaqub alayhi salam knew that this was a very good dream, all right? And something good was going to happen to Yusuf alayhi salam. This is why he warned him, do not tell your brothers about your dream, because they're going to get jealous and they're going to try to hurt you. And this teaches us something very, very important. You do not have to advertise every blessing that you have. You do not have to tell everybody about the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. This doesn't mean that you become very secretive and that you always are hiding from people. No, you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be secretive. But at the same time, you don't have to go on telling people about everything that Allah has blessed you with, right? The things that you're working on, your goals that you're working towards. There's no need to drop any hints. There's no need to talk about this in conversation all the time or on social media. Why? Because this is something that, first of all, affects us, all right? It harms us. It ruins our intention, right? Our sincerity. And it also, this is something that you may have experienced also, that you start doing something good and then you tell somebody about it. And then what happens? You're never able to do it again, right? Because once we tell people, we get this level of satisfaction, all right? And then we feel like, okay, we're done our job. So we stop working, all right? So it's not always healthy to go on telling people about the things that you're doing or the things that you're working towards. And also remember that when you do that, it also, it makes other people feel jealous, or at least they feel left out. So, of course, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, express your blessings, but expressing them doesn't always mean that you go on bragging about or you go on telling people about every single thing that you're enjoying. And the Prophet ﷺ actually gave us a very good piece of advice. He said, "Istaeenu ala qada'il hawa'iji bikitmaniha." Seek help for fulfilling your needs by being discreet, okay? Meaning, if you want to fulfill your goals, then be discreet. Be discreet meaning don't go on telling everybody about it. Don't go on publicizing it. Why? Because فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. Every owner of a blessing is actually envied. All right? Every owner of a blessing is envied. If you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were times when he told people about what he intended to do, and there were other times when he did not tell people about what he intended to do. All right? People were just supposed to follow him. All right? And that's something that happened many times. Why? Because this is how you achieve some of your goals. And especially, this is how you protect yourself from the envy of other people. Any person who is granted a blessing is envied. All right? And some people, they show that jealousy. And there are other people who don't show that jealousy. All right? Some people are very good at hiding feelings of jealousy. Right? They continue to pretend to be like friends, but in reality, they're not. And hasad is something that is very harmful, right? Which is why we make dua, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, that I seek your protection against the evil of the envier when he envies. Meaning, protect me from the jealousy of people. Because when people are jealous of you, then what happens? When they start staring at you, when they start staring at your gifts, at your blessings, then of course this can lead to evil eye, right? But not just the evil eye. Otherwise also, if you think about it, when people are jealous, they're not just going to sit with that jealousy, right? They're going to want to satisfy, that burning inside. And how's that going to happen? They're either going to try to harm you, or they're going to try to, say bad things about you. In one way or another, you're going to be harmed. And Yaqub alayhi salam says, "Inna shaytana lil insani aduwwun mubin." It is actually shaytan who is a clear enemy to people, right? So your brothers, if they find out about this dream, they will plot against you. They will conspire against you. Yakidu laka kaida. And kaid, kafi adal, kaid is to secretly work on something or plan or conspire. Why? In order to harm someone, right? That they don't know that you're trying to harm them. So you keep your plan completely secretive, right? The secret from them. So they will try to harm you. Why? Because shaitan is a clear enemy to people. All right? Meaning these feelings of jealousy, who brings them? Who creates them in the heart? It is shaitan. Because shaitan himself was jealous, right? Remember that shaitan was jealous of Adam alayhi salam. So he refused to make sajda to him. And look at where shaitan ended up because of his jealousy. And what does shaitan do to us? Shaitan brings about the same feelings of jealousy in our heart, right? So that jealousy, what does it do? It causes separation between people, right? It causes dissension. It causes bad feelings. It separates friends, spouses, siblings, right? Remember, good friends, your family, they are a big, big blessing. And what is the goal of shaitan? To ruin this blessing for us, right? So he ruins it how? By creating this jealousy. And so often it happens that a wife is jealous of her husband, that, oh, he's, you know, his career is so great, he's living such a great life, and here I am at home stuck looking after the kids, and my life is just meaningless, right? Or the husband is jealous of his wife that, here she is, yes, she is at home, but then when she works, she makes so much money, and here I am working every day, and I hardly make any money. Siblings, my sister is doing so great. Look at her. She's completed her degree and now she's applying for this job. And I'm still struggling with, with my courses that I've taken at school. So these feelings of jealousy, what do? They destroy your own contentment, right? And then they also ruin relationships. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he didn't say this to Yusuf alayhi salam to make him feel bad about his brothers, that your brothers are not sincere to you, your brothers don't like you. No, he said it is actually shaitan, right? It's actually shaitan. Shaitan is a clear enemy to people, right? He does not leave people. He's always trying to harm them. He's always trying to mislead them night and day. So you have to be careful. And this is something that we have to remember. You know, for example, your parents sometimes tell you, don't go here, don't hang out with these friends, right? Not because they don't trust you, right? Or they don't trust your friends. It's because they don't trust shaitan, right? So shaitan is our enemy, and that is something that we have to acknowledge, and that is something that we have to remember, right? And that is why we protect ourselves. Then what happened? Yaqub alayhi salam told him about the meaning of his dream. So he said, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Now he interprets the dream that وَكَذَلِكَ, and thus, يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord will choose you. Your Lord will choose to bless you. Meaning Allah will give you something very, very special. And what is that something special? It is prophethood. Yajtabika from Jim Baya, and Ijtiba is to choose to bless someone, to select something or someone. So how is it that Yaqub alayhi salam made this interpretation? That Allah will bless you. He will choose you. He will select you above the rest. Because in his dream, it was very obvious. 11 stars, sun and moon, all of them are making sajda to Yusuf alayhi salam, which is very obvious that he is rising above the rest, right? He is rising above the rest. So based on that, Yaqub alayhi salam said that Allah will choose you. And how is it that Allah will choose you? What will He give you? وَيُعَلِّمُكَ, Allah will teach you. يُعَلِّمُ from عَيْن لَا مِيم, تَعْلِيم is to give knowledge. Allah will give you the knowledge of مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, of the interpretation of dreams, the interpretation of events, the interpretation of statements, of scripture. Allah will give you this knowledge. Now, on what basis did He say this? Because if you think about it, Yaqub alayhi salam, he himself was a prophet, right? And what is it that made him special compared to the rest of the people? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him special knowledge, right? Through revelation. His father, Ishaq alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did they have? How is it that they were special? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them knowledge. So just as Allah gave knowledge, Allah chose them through knowledge, Allah will also give you special knowledge. And what is the special knowledge? Ta'wil al-ahadith. This is a very interesting concept that we have to understand. Very, very relevant to the story. You see the word ta'wil, hamza wa lam is a root. And ta'wil is interpretation. Okay, basically, awwala. Awwal is first, right? So you go back to the first meaning. You go back to the beginning, the intent, the real meaning. So ta'wil, interpretation. He will teach you interpretation of what? Of al-ahadith. Now, ahadith is the plural of hadith. Okay, I'm sorry I couldn't fit it in this box. So you're going to have to figure that out yourself. Hadith is written ha-dal-ya-sa. Okay, hadith. And what is hadith? Hadith is basically any news or information that reaches a person through some medium, okay? And uhdusa is something that is narrated, right? So a hadith can mean over here, news meaning dreams, right? The dreams that people tell you, Allah will teach you the interpretation of those dreams, all right? Secondly, a hadith can also refer to events, meaning the things that happen, the things that occur. Allah will give you the interpretation of those events, meaning the understanding of those events. So Allah will give you knowledge and Allah will give you wisdom, right? And then hadith, discourse, what people say or what is said, and this can refer to scripture, right? The book that Allah has, the books that Allah has revealed, Allah will give you the understanding of those scriptures, of prophetic teachings. So وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Allah will give you knowledge of or of interpretation of dreams, interpretation of events, interpretation of prophetic teachings of scripture. And remember that any information that we hear, you know, we interpret it, right? Some people, they are very good at interpreting the information they receive, and other people, they're always biased, always negative. So some people, mashallah, Allah has given them wisdom, right? A special sense. And Allah says, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah gives wisdom to whomsoever He wills. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And whoever is given wisdom, then he's given a lot of good. So Allah will give you this knowledge. So Ya'qub alayhi salam said, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And by giving you this knowledge, what will happen? Allah will, وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. يُتِمُّ, Allah will perfect and complete. تَامِيمِيم is the root. تَمَام, إِتْمَام is to complete something. So Allah will complete نِعْمَتَهُ, His blessing, عَلَيْكَ, on you. Meaning he will perfect His favor on you. Right now, you have a blessing, which is that you are the son of a prophet, right? The grandson of a prophet, the great-grandson of a prophet. But Allah will complete His blessing upon you by giving you prophethood, by giving you knowledge. So yutimu ni'matahu alayka, itmam of blessings is their growth, their increase, all right? So Allah will increase His blessing on you. Allah will perfect His blessing on you. And by giving you these great blessings, He will also perfect this blessing on who? Wa'ala, and upon Ali Ya'qub, the family of Ya'qub. Meaning this would also be a blessing for Ya'qub alayhi salam and for his family. Because remember, in the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam, what did he see? The sun and the moon and the stars making sajda to him, right? So this is something that will benefit the entire family. Whatever that Yusuf alayhi salam gets, it will benefit the entire family of Ya'qub alayhi salam. Kama, just as atammaha, Allah completed His blessing, ala abawayka, upon your two forefathers. Which two forefathers? Min qablu, who came before you, Ibrahim wa Ishaq, Ibrahim and Ishaq. How was it that the blessing of Allah was completed, perfected upon them? That they were not just prophets themselves, but their children, or in the case of Ishaq alayhi salam, his father was also a prophet, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased His blessings upon them, where He gave them good in this life and He will give them much better in the next life. Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. Indeed, your Lord is alim. He is ever knowing, hakim. He is ever wise. So Allah is alim and hakim. What does that mean? Allah knows everything, right? And whatever He decides, whatever He decrees, is based on His perfect knowledge. It is based on His perfect wisdom. And remember that wisdom, hikmah, is to put something where it belongs. And these are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we must remember. Think about your current situation, right? And remember, Allah is alim. He knows you. He knows the world. He knows what test to put you through, and He knows what test to put the rest of the world through, right? And He is Hakim. He is wise, meaning His decree is with His perfect wisdom. So He knows what you're able to handle, and He knows what to test you with and what to bring you, right? How to test you so that you grow, how to test you so that you become better than before. Allah is Hakim and Alim. His decisions are not random. This is something that we need to remember. His decrees are not haphazard, right? What Allah gives you, what Allah takes away from you, the place that Allah has put you in, right? The things that He is allowing you to use and the things that He's not allowing you to benefit from right now. There is wisdom in that, right? This decision of Allah was based on His knowledge and His wisdom. So trust His decree. And this is something that we need to do now at this moment. And this is something that we need to do every single moment of our lives. إِنَّهُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. He knows what He's doing. And He is wise in His decision. And Hakim also means the one whose hukm is carried out, meaning nobody can resist it, right? Nobody can repel it. If Allah decides that something should happen, a disease should spread, then, well, it's spreading, right? And no matter what people do, right, to fight it, to avoid it, any what is meant to hit you is going to hit you. So Allah is Hakim and Alim. Trust His plan. Then Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتُ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Certainly there is in Yusuf and his brothers many signs for those who ask. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ. إِخْوَة is the plural of أَخْ. We did this word earlier as well. So in the story of Yusuf and his brothers, there are ayat. There are signs. And what is meant by ayat over here is many lessons, ibar, right? For who? لِلسَّائِلِينَ, for those who ask. Plural of sa'il. Who are these people who ask? Remember, the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ for a story. And some people, they asked the Prophet ﷺ about the story of Yusuf in particular in order to test him. So there are lessons, basically. So as you go through the story, don't just focus on, okay, this happened, then that happened, and then that happened. No, derive lessons, derive benefits. And there is many lessons that were relevant to the companions. There were many lessons that were relevant to the people who opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, there are many lessons for us as well in this surah. So the story is a very beneficial story. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to complete the story and to, inshallah, benefit from it. I want you to listen to the recitation of these verses. Alhamdulillah, our friend Abdul Alim, mashallah, he recorded the recitation of these verses and he shared them with us so that we can all benefit. So everybody, please open up your mushaf from the beginning of the surah and let's listen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. وكذلك يجتبيك ربك ويعلمك من تأويل الأحاديث ويتم نعمته عليك وعلى آل يعقوب كما أتمها على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق إن ربك عليم حكيم. لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين.
So alhamdulillah, we've completed the first seven verses, and inshallah in the next group of verses we'll be looking at the part of the story which is about the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, how they were jealous of him and how they tried to get rid of him, and the lies that they told, the conspiracy that they made against Yusuf alayhi salam. So inshallah we'll conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, ustada.